If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
God did not lead me into this wilderness without a clear path. And if I'm surrounded by trees and bushes and I don't see a path, Isaiah, he said, I'm going to make a path. He said, I'm going to carve a way in the wilderness. I'm going to put streams in the desert. I serve a God that won't leave me in abandonment. I serve a God that will come to help me when I'm in despair. Lift up your head, Christians. Roll back your shoulders, believers. Encourage yourself. The weapons that we have are not carnal. I'm going to encourage myself. It's going to be all right. Devil meant stuff for evil. Evil. The devil meant it for E-V-I-L. But God means it so that you may L-I-V-E. So tell the devil, throw your evil. I'm going to live. I'm going to be strong. I'm coming out this day. You can tell him, devil, if you, listen, you would have never messed with me if you knew how I was coming out. Come in rejoicing. Come in dancing. Devil said, how are you going to dance? Because I'm alive. Long as there's life, there's hope. He says, you're in pain, but I'm still dancing. Say, how did, listen, devil, pain don't mean bad. It means I can still feel. It means my nervous system's still working. And the God that let me feel pain will heal me, and I won't feel it no more. But I'll not lie down and give up. That word is used to hold. 5 times it's used to hold. See, we let stuff go too early. And we let go. No, to encourage yourself means to hold on to that promise. I'm not letting go. I'm holding on, Lord. I'm holding on. 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 You'll always find an extra measure of strength to hold on. Listen, you get somebody in your life that you can call or text that'll give you the encouragement you need for that. All you need is just a little bit of spark. It only takes a spark to get a fire burning. See, our problem is we get with people who are just as burdened as we are. No, find somebody free. Even if you have to create them. Say, what do you mean, Bishop? Here's what I mean. You get yourself a good friend. You talk to that good friend and you say, listen, I don't want you complaining to me no more. I don't care what you're going through. Don't tell it to me because I'm drawing off of you. I'm calling you to be my strength. God will give them somebody else. After I encourage myself, how do I defeat this rascal? How do I defeat him? Number 2, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. We all need somebody. We all need somebody to lean on. Don't you ever think you're so spiritual that you don't need somebody. But here's what God taught me. There's a passage of scripture that says you receive not because you ask not. And the reason why you keep getting those complaining dead people is because you don't raise their level to be a giver rather than a taker. If they're close enough to you, you should be able to tell them, when I call you, I need encouragement. It's a very thin circle. It's not a lot of people. But see, people don't know what's in them until they're pushed. You think that negative things are designed to pull you down. I got news. We serve a God that creates the negative to extract the positive. Some of us will never go to the next level until something terrible happens in our lives. Noah, let's go to the next one. Noah built an altar. Then in Genesis chapter 12, verses 6 through 9, then chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 13 and 8, he tells us in those three passages that Abraham built an altar. Everywhere Abraham went, there are seven verses that talk about Abraham. And in those areas, in those seven verses, they have one thing in common. He builds an altar there. Every time he has an interaction with God, he builds an altar. The first thing, the first way to defeat the devil is to learn how to encourage yourself. Now, some of us, we think we can encourage ourselves from the mind, from the brain. No, write it down. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. And then practice repeating them until they become part of the memory. You remember 85% of what you see and hear. So say it until it becomes part of the memory. But building an altar, that speaks to having a place of sacrifice. Now, I know you all have watched that war movie, that war room movie, and all of you went home and start throwing your stuff out your closet so you can have a place to pray. I mean, God bless you. I'm not going to minimize the movie. I think I haven't seen it, but I think that it's, from what I'm hearing, it's a good movie for the Christian. God bless you. Go for it. Nothing wrong with it. I think it serves the purpose. It creates the environment in the mind to find a place to pray. But what's missing from what I'm hearing is that we take that room, that war room, so to speak, and we use it to go in to meet God. But let me tell you the significance of meeting God. You don't meet God just to get from God. You meet God to give to God. The altar is a place of slaughter and sacrifice. That means every time that Abraham built that altar, what he was saying to God was, there's something else I'm laying down. When you leave your altar, when you leave your war room, you ought to be lighter. There's something that you left there for God to have to deal with. You should not come out fatter or the same. When you walk away from an intimate time with God, your doubts ought to be dealt with. Your fear ought to be dealt with. Your sin ought to be dealt with. You ought to leave that stuff at the foot of the cross and walk out with praise on your lips, saying, God, I'm not perfect, but I'm making progress. You beat the devil by building an altar. And that altar is where you sacrifice yourself to God. God, take my foolishness, take my pride, take my lasciviousness, take it all, God, take it. Purge me, wash me, cleanse me. The altar is not a place of beauty. It's not a place for money. It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of slaughter. When you come to the altar, something dies. You can't leave the altar, have an encounter with God, and backbite, gossip, murmur, complain. That's the second way. Encourage yourself, number one. Build an altar. Go home and build an altar. Some of you got a prayer room from the movie. God bless you. God bless you. Thank God for you. Have that room to do warfare. Go ahead. It's good. It's good. But you should have an altar. See, the enemy wants you to hold on to dead weight. Listen carefully. He wants you to hold on to dead weight, dead things, and dead people. I was listening to my Bible the other day. I have a Bible Experience, the dramatic presentation. And I put that on in my car periodically and play it in the evening in my iPod. And I listened to that, and I was listening to a passage in Genesis. And I had a lot of thoughts going through my mind about Thursday night, because I like to have something that's challenging. I don't need anything that rhymes. There isn't much that rhymes with 16. God is great in 2008. Right on time, 2009. In the lion's den, 2010. There ain't much that rhymes with sitting. 16. 16. What rhymes with 16? Pristine. I'm pristine in 16. No? Huh? Yameen. No, we say Yaman. So I've abandoned that years ago. I'm so tired of titles. And so while I was listening, the Holy Spirit says, here's what you're to preach. I want to preach, you know, something. Here's what you're to preach. And I said, what is it? And he said, preach the power of change. Yeah, you say amen now, but you don't know what verse I was in when he said it. But I'm going to be obedient, because obedience is better than sacrifice. But I began to think in terms of what he was saying as it relates to the altar concept. You see, there are people who become stabilized in our lives, and they need to be uprooted. And then there are places that you're stabilized where you need to be uprooted. Now watch this. Watch this. God has been trying to get you out of a place, out of a situation, out of a relationship. Not marriage. I don't want nobody going out here saying, Pastor Lambert said, God told me he'd been trying to get me away from you for 20 years. No, don't go home and tell your husband that, because then I'll have to show him that I didn't just get saved. But he listen, God is so good. He's so gracious. He's so kind that he sends you little hints early on. Little things. And you think you have more compassion than God, so you stay in it. And you keep hanging in there with the hope that it'll change. So God says, all right, look, this is going on too long. So then he'll let something catastrophic happen to get you out. You know what kind of father we have? God loves us so much. Listen to this. God will have told you not to call certain people anymore. And you keep doing it. You keep doing it. So here's what he does. He whispers to them and says, change your phone number and don't give it to them. Why? Because he knows that the longer you stay connected, the worse you're going to be. And then watch. As soon as you disconnect, watch your spirit take off. And then you have to be honest and say, Lord, when I was there, I was dying, but I didn't know. You never know you're dying till you get around healthy people. Those children in Ethiopia, they don't know they're hungry. They don't know they're hungry till people from the West come and say, y'all hungry? Then I say, what are you talking about? They are accustomed to eating like that. You can't beat the devil when you stay in a place of mediocrity and God's trying to lift you. And then when you get free, watch how the promotions start. And people will be looking around saying, well, why is he anointing her? Why is he anointing him? Why? They just got here. But their calling had been held down. Now God is saying, now I can bring you where you need to be. See, that's how you defeat the devil. You defeat the devil by being where you are supposed to be. Build that altar. Encourage yourself.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
12415P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.